Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Simply Unprofessional. I'm your host, Webby. Joining me tonight, we got Devin.
Everybody, I'm Devin.
And Rob is in this chat with us. He's currently muted. He's in the timeout corner because he spoke over the last intro that we attempted. But in any case, tonight we're going to be talking about a movie that Devin got me to watch. I was kind of skeptical at first. It was on Amazon Prime. It's called Overlord. Now, Devin, you pitched this movie to me this way. Essentially, you just said World War II Nazi zombies. But then you told me that you essentially just put this movie on in the background as background noise, and you had the intention of essentially just falling asleep with it in the background, and it hooked you in the first 10 minutes. And you ended up watching the whole movie. So I said, okay. Let's see. I mean, not that I didn't believe you that it hooked you, but, you know, the first 10 minutes, I was kind of skeptical. Not the case. Almost right off the bat, it's pretty action-packed and, like, pulls you right in. So, with that being said, and since you've seen this movie twice now, in the time that I've seen it once, I'm going to hand the reins over to you. And we'll go through and we'll just talk about kind of like the pacing of the movie and
to me, that's a terrible decision.
Oh, you're super low all of a sudden.
I said, why are you handling the reins to me? That's a terrible decision.
There we go. Whatever you just did fixed it.
I just wasn't talking that loud when I said that.
Oh, well, it sounded like you were like in the bottom of like a well and that we needed to go get Sen Lassie out for help or something. Like you were really far away. Well, because like the movie's going to be fresher in your mind with you having seen it twice, and we're just going to kind of go through some of the plot points, and then like I'll chime in when I have comments because there's a lot to comment on in this movie. But I'll hand it over to you.
Okay, yeah. I mean, it starts out pretty much on the eve of D-Day. We opens up with our cast of people, a paratrooper squad. They're on a mission to destroy a German watchtower.
Yeah. There's like and a signal booster or something on the top of it that they have to blow up or whatever.
Yep.
Now, okay, yep, I'm going to stop you right there for 2 seconds. You mentioned the cast. You know, we see this plane full of, you know, cast members for this movie. Out of the entirety of the movie, there is really only two people that I recognized, and one of them I couldn't remember where I recognized them from. So the first one right off the bat that I recognized was the photographer. He is Fitz from Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Mm-hmm. The other one that I knew him from another movie, or I recognized him, was the one who ended up getting pretty attached to the young boy. But I don't know where I knew him from.
He was in Orange is the New Black. He was in Umbrella Academy.
Oh, okay. The Umbrella Academy probably then. I don't think I've seen any of the new Orange is the New Blacks to have.
He was in The Big Short.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
It was probably The Umbrella Academy. All right.
He was in Life After Beth. No, I'm kidding. But this was a much better movie than Life After Beth. Am I right?
Listen, I almost brought that up when we did our top 5 recommendations or whatever. I almost put Life that on my movie list.
I would have slapped you.
Yeah,
on principle.
I wanted to see how you would react if I added
I would have
that.
Slapped you on principle just because. I would have did that for your mom.
I will say this movie would have been better if there was some Aubrey Plaza in it, but that's just me.
Aubrey Plaza can only play one role. And
she could have been a zombie.
Aubrey Plaza plays one role. It's Aubrey Plaza, and Aubrey Plaza had no place in this movie. I'm sorry.
But what if she was the zombie from Life After Beth in the background, and you see her get blown up?
No. That's nothing. I'm good.
I don't know. I would have enjoyed it, but... All right, continue. So we're on the plane.
We're on the plane. our main character, Edward Boyce, is a paratrooper. He looks kind of nervous, like he's not really... Like, maybe this is his first big mission, or he's not really sure. Either. I think this is kind of his first thing coming right out of camp, because they mentioned later they were telling stories about basic and whatnot. I mean, he's looking pretty nervous. They have to go bomb a radio tower that's near an old church. And then shortly after that, you know, there's the whole, like, mission briefing and everything, and then pretty much all hell breaks loose. And bullets start flying, planes are blowing up. I mean, planes are blowing up. Their plane starts getting shot at.
Their plane looks like Swiss cheese by the time they bail.
My favorite scene, though, that opening scene by far, is when the one guy stood up and got shot, and the one guy runs over and pulls out, like, the long-ass thing of bandages, like, I'm gonna help him. Like, no, you're not.
No. That
fucking bandage ain't doing shit.
So then they all end up fucking... They bail from this plane, and they're waiting. They wait for a while. Like, the whole tail end of this plane gets ripped off at some point, and, like, people are flying out of the back of it, and, like, they're still waiting in line, like, jumping out in, like, to parachute down. And so Boyce ends up, I think he pulls his, what, reserve chute or something? I don't remember. But he ends up in the water. Which is fucking terrifying if you're parachuting, because he got tangled up in the cords and shit.
Yeah, then he had to cut himself out, like, ah!
Yeah, and then you figure, oh, okay, cool, he has his knife, he cut himself free. Then he goes to the surface of the water, and he's underneath the parachute now.
So he has to cut himself out of his parachute.
Yeah. Already, this guy's just, he's having a bad night, okay?
Yeah, he's having a real bad night.
And then... He finds out what he gets lost. He's trying to find the rest of his company, and I remember he ends up hiding in some bushes because he hears what was it? I think it was his captain, or like his commanding officer of some fashion.
Like, lands on the shore. At first, he lands on the shore. He's sitting there trying to catch his breath. He pulls out his pistol, checks his pistol, and then they start shooting at him from across the water. Like, I'm guessing with, like, a 40 cal, because it looked like it was some fairly large rounds. So then he starts scurrying away, because he's getting shot at, obviously. So he scurries away, does his thing, grabs, you know, then runs in the woods, and then that's when he hears his captain.
Yeah, who's getting real fucking mouthy to the Germans.
I mean, he kind of knows he's fucked.
Yeah. I mean, what was it? His the corporal? Was it the corporal Lewis?
Yeah, the corporal Lewis Ford. Yep.
Yeah,
Corporal Ford.
He ends up stopping Boyce from going out there because Boyce was getting ready to, like, run out there to help the captain, which dumb fucking move. You see, I understand wanting to help somebody, but if you see one man standing in the middle of this small little clearing surrounded by like a dozen Nazi soldiers, you're not helping him. I'm sorry, but you're not going to take on 12 Nazis to help that guy. So needless to say, they shoot him. You know,
kind of like a grenade. He, like, chucked a grenade in the middle of all of them, maybe.
I guess. Did they have grenades? Why didn't he do that?
I don't know if he had a grenade. I'm saying, like, I know later down the road, like, the chick had grenades.
They should have thrown grenades. That's all I'm saying. Okay, anyway. So they end up leaving, like, that area. Like, they sneak away. And then they meet up with, like, as they're about to leave, like, apparently the Corporal Ford had found a couple of these other guys already. Because there was, like, three or four other people greeting them as they left. Then, not even a heartbeat later, man, go ahead and, you said this was one of your favorite scenes, man. This caught me by surprise. I'm not going to lie.
Well, yeah, like, they all meet up and everything. They're walking, and they're kind of, one of the guys is talking about how he's been writing a book. And he's like, he's talking to the photographer. He's like, yeah, you know, he's like, you know, hey, when we get back, I use some of your photos and everything. And, you know, we can go into business together and you'll get some of the royalties. And then he just gets blown to pieces because he stepped on a landmine out of nowhere.
Yeah. And they all get blown like away from the center of the explosion. But dude, these guys, such a bad day. And it's like, you watch these World War II movies, like Saving Private, or, you know, these war movies in general, Saving Private Ryan, stuff like that. And it's almost, it's the second you touch down, it's just one bad thing after the other over there. So I'm like, they're not taking away from that at all, but man, you really thought some of these guys would at least last a little longer because they weren't even at their destination where they were going to supposedly run into.
Oh, because they got to get hit. They were getting shot so bad that they had to drop them off. I think it was like he said like a couple clicks or like two or three clicks.
Yeah. Early. Yeah. So then they start using their bayonets as like poking devices.
Oh, and the one sniper's like, "How hard should I push?" And it's like,
right.
Well, you'll know.
Yeah,
you'll know.
Dude, that he was one of my favorite characters, that guy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
he's like, hey, any of you guys want to come over here and get me? They're like, ah, just use your bayonet and just push softly. He's like, well, how softly? He's like, like, how are we talking here?
He's like, you'll know. Basically, if you blow up.
Yeah. That guy was fucking ice cold there, that fucking Corporal Ford guy.
Yeah.
He was like, no nonsense.
I want a Corporal Ford backstory. Like, he seemed like he had some history going on.
Yeah, there. Like, when he was on the plane and they were, like, looking at him and stuff, it's like, oh, man, that guy's seen some shit. Like, he was seasoned, you know what I mean?
Yep.
And then, essentially, the rest of the walk, at least to the town, well, before they even make it to the town, they find the girl. Who, what was she doing? I know she had a rabbit, so she was out there hunting rabbits. But then one of the people said that she had something on her, like she was also looting bodies. Like
it was something like that.
I don't understand. But they ended up finding the main female character, who I don't even remember her name, Chloe, something like that. And so they have to get to this town, so she ends up leading them to this town. Then I know that like there was an issue where like one of her neighbors fucking ratted her out from being out past curfew and she had to deal with some of the soldiers, which was bullshit. I would have gone back and killed that old lady, fucking turning her ass in. But they end up finding out that her house is clear, that she lives there with her younger brother and her aunt. Dude, her fucking aunt scared the shit out of me. I hated that scene. That's the only part of the movie I dislike. The rest of the movie, once you really started getting the ball rolling, it's like, okay, I can imagine this. I can anticipate the rest of what I'm about to see. But that fucking aunt scene, I freaked out on you on Facebook. Like I always do. Like I always do.
I love when you watch movies.
Hold on, because I did this before, I have to read verbatim what I wrote, Devin, because I always do this. Let's see, scroll up, because it was not that long ago. Fucking Nazis. That was one thing I said. Okay, right here. So I wrote, you're not wrong about Overlord. It's fucking pretty intense from the get-go. And then, so, Boyce ends up, you know, the girl tells them, hey, my aunt's sick. That's all she says. She's sick. And so Boyce goes upstairs. They're checking the house or whatever. They're hanging out in the attic or whatnot. And Boyce hears a noise. He walks down the door. And, like, I was anticipating, like, some sort of jump scare because it's like he's walking towards a door that's just barely cracked open. But I did not anticipate what I saw. And, like, as he's about to turn around and walk away, he looks back through the door. And all of a sudden, like, the aunt shows up and just stares at him and then, like, walks by, and she's like all hideous and fucking like. Like, if you can picture somebody who maybe survived a nuclear bombing and is like what the radiation would have done. She looks like the Toxic Avenger, like, but with like boils. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wrote verbatim to Devin. I said, Jesus fuck. What the fuck is with the aunt? What the actual fuck? What am I watching, Devin? God damn it. Like, that was over the course of maybe 3 seconds that I wrote all that.
I was freaking out. It was funny.
That really kind of, it got to me. And that was really, that was the only time we got to see the aunt. You never really see the aunt the rest of the movie.
True, that was the only time we really got to see the aunt.
So, okay, so I'll let you take back over. I've said my piece about the aunt.
So, yeah, I'm trying to see what happens after that. They wind up, yeah, they're staying there. The corporal sends the photographer and the sniper out to go back to the rendezvous point to see if they can find anybody else made it. So they go there, and then during that time, is that? Yeah, during that time, that's when the general of the people come in. And starts harassing the girl.
Yep. And the Nazi people, yep.
Yep, yep. And then basically he starts trying to trade sexual favors to, like, basically leave her and her family alone. Or because at one point he threatens to take her brother and do what he did to the, and do what they did to the aunt to him. So then it's like, you know, so she gives in. The main guy, Edward, he's starting to kind of have feelings for the chick. What is her name?
I think it's Chloe.
Chloe. Yep. He's starting to have feelings for Chloe, so he kind of runs down. They're upstairs hiding. He runs downstairs after the other guys leave, because they, like, walk through the house and inspect the house. But he runs downstairs and...
Yeah. They inspect the house. They hear the boy upstairs. So they start walking towards the attic, and Boyce and the Ford or whatever... are, like, lying on the ground with their guns pointed right where the Nazis would be. And all of a sudden, the little boy rolls the ball down the fucking stairs. These Nazi scumbags fucking pick it up, spit on the ball, and throw it back to the boy. Like, what kind of fucking assholes? Well, you know, it's just a little kid fucking spitting on his baseball. Go fuck your... I hate Nazis. Am I allowed to say that? I think I am. Anyway,
we here at SU do not like Nazis.
Yes, me and Devin speak for everybody on SU because we are SU. We fucking detest Nazis.
We do detest Nazis. True story. True story.
All
right,
golems are gonna get you all, you Nazi scum.
So then, after that happens, the corporal's kind of like rightfully mad. You know, like, you know, he's like, you know. You're kind of letting your feelings get in the way, you know, you kind of, you know, you fucked us, but whatever. He sends out Ed to go find the other two guys. Well, during then, that's when he gets distracted. He gets chased by a dog. He winds up seeing he gets distracted at first because he hears something, and then he winds up seeing them burning bodies.
Yep. And we mentioned the part where they took control of that fucking head Nazi guy, right? They captured him.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, after that, they sent him out. So they wind up, that winds up happening. He sees them burning bodies, and then he gets chased by a hungry, ravenous dog who's out in the woods.
Yeah, so he jumps in the back of a truck.
Of a truck with all of his dead comrades from, like, other people who got shot down. He kind of rides that into the base that they're trying to blow up. And he discovers while he's down there, he discovers that they are, in fact, doing experiments on people.
And, man, this guy sees some shit, and I'm not going to lie, he handles it far better than I think I would. I'm just saying. Because, like, he unzips that first, like, the sack, I guess, is all I can call it. He unzips that thing and like some fluid comes out. So then he continues unzipping it and somebody like pushes their head out and starts like asking for help. He sees the one chick who's asking, who's like, he hears a woman's voice and he pulls back a curtain and it's just this chick's head and her spinal cord. Like she has no body, but she's still alive. Like that's some fucked up shit. Then he finds one of his friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's strapped to a table all fucked up. He's got the, oh man, that was that. I'm not gonna lie, that was a hard thing for me to watch when they came in, injected the dude with some shit, and then they carried him out and he started unstrapping his friend. And they had to fucking pull that tube out of his side.
Yeah.
That was rough for me.
That was gnarly.
I cringed. So, yeah. All right. Continue. I'm sorry.
You're good.
I'm getting worked up again. He also watched some dude, like, that was another one of the jump scares. He was watching, like, the scientist dude talk or like, watch the guy through the small hole in the concrete. And then he went over and looked in, and there was, like, he just saw the eye because the thing was looking back at him from one of the zomboners. Because at the time, from what we understand, these things are zombies, technically. Because they're reviving the dead. Right?
Yep.
So, then they escape the church. Because that's in, like, the basement of a church facility. And they escape, and they make it back to the house. And they're all wondering where Boyce was because the other two, the cameraman and the sniper guy, came back and they were trying to say Boyce never made it and blah, blah, blah. And then Boyce comes in with the injured guy. And I think that's where they go to town because Boyce shows them the syringe. He stole a syringe, which, all right, listen. I understand it's World War II. It's like 1940s, right? 1944 or some shit like that. They don't have covers or anything. He could have wrapped it in like some sort of wrap first. He finds this gnarly long ass syringe filled with some mystery fluid and motherfucker just puts it in his cargo pocket.
Hey, but thick pants, it'd be alright.
Oh, you're really low again.
Those are thick pants, it'll be alright.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Like one wrong like twist or jump or fall to the ground and he's stabbing himself with that shit.
Nah, it's fine.
It's fine. But then what? Corporal Ford? Yeah, Corporal Ford fucking goes to town on this Nazi dude. So
he does.
There's like
a small torture session that happens. Gotta love that. So then during this time we cuts back to that. That's going on, and like you said, he was given torture. Oh, the other two guys made it back on their own. And yeah, the other two guys made it back pretty much on their own, which is nice. And then, think what else? I'm trying to think. That happens.
I think that's when they start talking about what they're gonna do. So they're getting ready to move out to go blow up the church. And, I mean, this whole time, Ford is still just hell-bent on, okay, we just need to take out the target that we came here for. And then he's like, everybody else can fucking deal deal with what's underneath the church when the time comes or whatever. So they send of all the fucking people, they send the cameraman guy upstairs to go get the fucking Nazi officer. I don't know about you, Devin, but to me that's the wrong move.
I mean, it wasn't a big deal. I mean, he had proven himself to be
cameraman. He has literally proven himself to be a camera. He's done nothing this whole movie.
That's fine. You're overreacting. It's fine.
Okay, what happens next when he goes up there to get the fucking guy?
You're overreacting. You're overreacting. You're overreacting.
Okay.
It's fine. You're Rick. It's fine. Boy, anyway, he goes up there. The guy's acting like he's asleep. Or the guy was asleep. He tried to wake the guy a few times, but, I mean, the guy was beaten half to death, so he probably was out of it. So that happened, and then basically he cuts him down, and then he's like, hey, guys, I need some help. And then while he's calling for help, The guy attacks him, and then he gets shot. Which, I mean, to be fair, if you get shot by a guy whose hands are tied with fucking a burlap sack over his head, sounds like a personal problem. But, yeah, he gets shot, like, clean in the chest. They all run up. Ed tackles him to the ground, takes the gun from him. Then the other, and the sniper guy knocks him out, or at least hits him. I don't know if he knocked him out, but he at least hits him. Yeah, I mean, pretty much, that's what happened next. And then they're trying to get him out. You know, he winds up dying, unfortunately. And then Ed
because
is like,
he was
all right.
Camera guy.
Ed's like, all right, we got to, you know, we got to fix this. So Ed stabs him with the mystery fluid.
Oh boy, wrong move on his part.
I mean, he worked. He came back.
Yeah.
So he stabs him, and he's like, okay, he's dead. Like, come on. Then he winds up getting back, and he sits straight up. They're like, okay, that's not supposed to happen. And then he wakes up like nothing happened. He's like, I'm thirsty. And he starts drinking some water. Then he crushes like a tin bottle in his hand by accident.
Yeah,
he's like, oh, that's weird.
Water canteen, yeah.
Yeah, he crushes like a tin water canteen. And he's like, oh, that's weird. And the sniper's like, just add it to the list.
Yeah. I love that sniper comments.
So, yeah, I mean, that happens. So then after that happens, I mean, he starts freaking out. Like, because he's like, my head's hurting. He starts freaking out. Starts about to bring down the damn roof by bashing his head against the fucking...
Yeah, he broke one of the support beams.
Yeah. It was cute.
And then
it was real cute.
He ends up turning on... Like, he starts attacking Boyce because he sees all, like, the black veins and shit going up his arm and whatnot. And he wants to know what he did to him. And then so fucking Ford ends up having to... They open fire on this guy. And he goes down to the ground, you know. And then he gets back up. And, like, his fucking head turns all the way the fuck around. I don't remember. He's got some gnarly bones protruding from his back. Like, this guy's fucked up. And, they all put him down one more time, and then Boyce goes over with the butt of a gun and just repeatedly bashes his head in until there's really not much left. So then they
not much left.
At that point, the officer had left, right? The Nazi guy,
mm-hmm.
And he was making a run for it with the boy because they took the boy. I don't remember what happened. He ends up getting fucking his face blown off. Like, part of his face is blown out. Like, was that Ford who shoots him? I don't
know. Ford, no. Ford empties the clip in his back, and he stands back up, and then they get him down again, and then Ed starts pounding his head in with the butt of the rifle.
Right. I'm talking about the Nazi officer, though.
Oh,
the Nazi
officer Ed,
who,
like,
escapes takes the boy.
Yeah. No, Ed, like, shoots his face in. That's what happened with that.
Oh, is Ed who did it?
No, Ed. No. It was Ford. Ford. You're right. It was Ford.
So, essentially, they're then kind of regrouping, figuring, okay, well, the plan is still go blow up the church. They all kind of, you know, Ed tries to pitch, you know, to Ford, hey, we got to rescue his brother. If it wasn't for us, the brother wouldn't have been taken to begin with, blah, blah, blah. Ford at first was kind of against the whole idea, but then that sniper guy's like, yeah, but how much sweeter would the walk back be if we did survive and we had that boy with us? It'd be pretty dope. So I think their intention then became, okay, we're going to go blow up the facility, try to rescue the boy if we can, and try to escape with our lives. Because it's a suicide mission regardless. The SS officer dude, the Nazi officer, goes back to the facility, the church, with the boy, covering his face, shoves everybody aside, and injects himself with two syringes of that shit, And like the science, the head scientist guy is just like, "Whoa, listen, bud, we haven't tested this on live subjects yet. We don't know what effect this is gonna have." And then it just shows the officer dude turn around, and he looks at him with fucking half his face missing, and like he looks worse than Two-Face, if that makes it makes a difference. It's bad. And then he just kind of smiles. So then, yeah, we go into the whole infiltration process, which I thought was pretty cool, because they had, like, the sniper for, one of the coolest scenes in the movie. You hear a motorcycle. The motorcycle pulls up to the gate. They open up the gate to the facility. The motorcyclist pulls in. His hands are tied to the fucking bars, and he's got duct tape over his mouth. And one of the officers outside keeps walking over and, like, keeps reaching for the duct tape, but the guy's, like, moving his head to the side. At first, I was like, I thought he's gesturing to, like, the sidecar, which he technically was. But at the same time, then I realized, oh, he just doesn't want them to pull that tape off. They hold him down. He pulls the tape off, and then he sees, like, a pin to the tape, like, it's stuck to the tape. And a fucking grenade in this dude's mouth. Best scene in the movie. And then a bunch of C4 in the sidecar. And they all explode. And that's where the sniper and then the dude with the fucking chain gun start going to town on people. But I will hand it back over to you.
I mean, yeah, they infiltrate, they break in, the guy shows them how to break in the bottom, they break in while the other two guys are outside basically distracting everybody.
With murder.
With murder. So yeah, I mean, that's basically how that goes down. They get inside, they start, the girl breaks off to go find her brother, they go do what they need to do, and, I mean, yeah.
And they do set the charges.
They do in fact set the charges. True statement.
And then I don't remember. Okay, here's where I'm gonna start falling off, because I don't remember what initially split up Ford and Boyce. Like why they split up. I remember the girl went to go see her brother, and Ford set the charges with like the timer, but got interrupted by the SS officer dude. But Boyce wasn't with him at that point. Like, what was Boyce going to do? Was he planting charges somewhere else in the facility?
Yeah. He was planting charges somewhere else.
Okay. I guess I overlooked that part of it. But the girl does find her brother, and then they start getting chased by a fucking zombie who's, like, has, like, no left hand but, like, a bone spike. He was, like, a zombie slash Baraka from Street Fighter. It was gross. And she unloaded a fucking revolver into his head, and he still woke up. It's bad.
True story.
You can't just shoot these zombies in the head. They're not that easy. She ended up equipping a flamethrower, which I thought was pretty badass, and burning them to death.
She did.
And then, like, while she did that, the brother just fucking GTFO. He wanted nothing to do with this compound. He left. He ran. He didn't wait for anybody. He just fucking ran back home. But then there's, like, that fight between the officer, the Nazi officer, and the Ford guy. And essentially they reenact the scene where they string up the officer in the attic and Ford was beating him and talking to him. They just did it in reverse. And instead of rope, they hung Ford up on a meat hook. And then essentially the same dialogue happens. Like, he just starts repeating everything that Ford said to him in the interrogation process.
I think the creepiest part, though, like, zipping back a little bit, was when he was walking through and he saw, like, the one lady who was just, like, a head in, like, a vertebrae talking.
Yeah, that was way back where...
I know. I was just thinking about that for a second. I was like, that was creepy.
Yeah, no, I didn't care for that at all. And like I said, like, Boyce fucking handled... After having seen all that shit,
he kind of lost his shit for a second when he got back, and he was just like, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You
pulled it together. Good job.
So, essentially, the Nazi officer guy starts beating the shit out of Boyce. Like, Boyce comes back to help Ford. They start drowning Boyce. The Ford unhooks himself from the meat hook, which, Devin, you made a Dead by Daylight reference on that one. And Boyce or Ford ends up, like, injecting himself with the Nazi serum stuff, figuring he's probably going to die anyway because that meat hook injury was pretty rough. And then there's kind of a cool fight scene between him and the S. I really wish there was a better, it was a longer slash better fight scene, but it was all right for what it was. He held his own against the super strong, because this thing makes you super strong too, this serum stuff.
It does.
It essentially makes you a angry, zombified Captain America. Essentially. And then they end up blowing up the SS guy with like an oxygen tank. He falls into the pit in the middle of the room, which why there's a pit there, I have no fucking idea. And then Ford, all these other zombies start coming down there, and the SS officer guy climbs out of the pit, and Ford locks Boyce out of like that room where he is. And tells him, hey, you gotta go finish up the rest of the place. Get everybody out, blah, blah, blah. He has his hero moment where essentially he just fucking sticks a fucking string into this fucking C4, lights it, and just stands there while everybody approaches him, and they blows the shit out of everybody. That's pretty much it. Other than fucking the sniper guy and the chain gun guy holding off Nazis in, like, the town square or right outside somewhere. And then they see the boy, like, wandering around and running around. And then the sniper guy ends up getting hit. I think he gets shot. Where he gets shot in the back or in the ass or something.
Something like that.
And, and then the girl makes it out. Boyce makes it out. And everybody, you know, forgets everything ever happened, and the Marines that were there, like Boyce, the sniper, the chain gun guy, they all get reassigned to another company. The commanding officer asks Boyce if there's like anything underneath there worth digging up, like worth an excavation process, and Boyce is just like, no, just some dead Nazis.
Pretty much.
But and that was pretty much the end of the movie. Now they didn't go into it where like what happens to Chloe and the kid, other villagers. And did she end up staying in that town, or did her and Boyce end up hooking up?
Well, like, no, I'm assuming she probably joined up as like a nurse, as like an allied nurse, because she was kind of tending to them at the end, and she was tending to some other people at the end there.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming she joined up as kind of like an allied nurse, because then they kind of all like looked at each other when they made the reference that they were about to like head out and go somewhere else.
Yeah, to go kill Hitler.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, in a nutshell, that's Overlord. Good guy. It was a train ride, Devin, who you sent me on that one. It was pretty much nonstop action start to finish. There was no real lulls in the movie.
Mm-mm.
I will say, unless you've already looked it up, Devin, I'm gonna make you guess a few things here. How much do you think this movie made worldwide? Gross.
I think like 41 million.
Well, you're pretty much right on the money. 41.7. And what do you think the budget was of this movie?
I think it was like 32?
38.
Okay.
So needless to say, with those numbers, I don't think there's going to be a sequel coming along anytime soon.
You never know.
You never know. I mean, you're true. You're right. Rotten Tomatoes, this is something that you don't see too often, at least not in my experience with Rotten Tomatoes. I also don't go to Rotten Tomatoes very often. The Tomato Meter gave it an 81%, which is a decent score. And the audience score for it was a 67%. So the audience score was actually lower than the tomato score, the tomato meter, which, I mean, to me, it's usually the other way around, because it's usually a decent movie. Everybody's given, you know, all the audience members is given the movie praise, and it's all the critics that fucking didn't like it. Let's see. And then there was one other thing I wanted to say. It was on this one. Somebody quoted, let me see who this was so I can give them credit. William Bibbiani wrote in an article, and Devin, you can tell me if you disagree. Overlord is one of the best video game movies ever made, and it's not even based on a video game.
I would agree with that. It has very Wolfenstein-esque feel to it.
Yeah. He actually references that. He says it's essentially a mix between Wolfenstein, Call of Duty, and something else. I don't remember where. Yeah. Chase. That was the cameraman's name. Chase. The opening of Overlord is gigantically horrific. It is technically what would be considered a B movie. I don't know what the classifications are for that. Like, what draws the line between this is a B movie and this is an A movie?
I don't know.
Because, I mean, it was directed by J.J. Abrams.
Which, yeah, I haven't the slightest clue.
You know, I wonder if it's just a matter of how much they make.
It's possible. I really haven't the slightest clue, but it's possible.
He says it's kind of a mix between Modern Warfare, Half-Life, and Bioshock, and more. So, I don't know if you'll agree with this. It says, along the way, the film employs boss-level storytelling tropes, survival horror exploration, and a climactic chase level straight out the original Halo.
Sure.
Anyway, as with all movies that we do here on SU, Devin, would you recommend other people? I mean, you recommended I watched it.
Yes, I would.
Man, what is wrong with your audio?
I don't know. What's wrong with my audio?
You literally keep coming in and out. Like, you sound You sound like you end up, like, going into tin can, like, distance
mode. I literally don't know.
What would you rate this movie on a scale from 1 to 10?
I would give it, I'd give it an 8.5.
Okay. I'm close. I give it, like, a 7.5. It was highly entertaining to watch. It was action-packed. Again, no real dull moments. Not necessarily a movie that I feel like I would rewatch just on my own. Like if Ross came over or something and he hadn't seen it, yeah, I'd probably sit down and watch it with him. But definitely worth a watch if you haven't seen it yet. So yeah, all right. Well, that's our review on Overlord. I don't have much to say. It's on Amazon Prime, if we didn't already say that. I think it's also on Hulu, is what I was reading. Unless they took it off of Hulu.
It should be still on Hulu.
And for all you other people, it's on DVD out there. So you can go find it on DVD. So, but all right, Tevin. If there's nothing else that you want to mention about the movie, then we can move on with our life advice with Devin, and we can do our wrap-up.
You don't want to talk about Puka?
Oh, yeah, Puka Lives. Okay, so I haven't watched the first one.
The first one I actually like better than the second one in a weird way.
Listen, so the only reason I even wanted to watch this movie to begin with was for Felicia Day.
The first one's more like psychological. The second one is just like a straight up like slasher horror movie thing.
Yeah. I will say I thoroughly enjoyed the very, very ending, like right before the credits scene of Puka Lives. But Puka Lives, okay, so quick rundown of this. They're in like this fucking town where like there's this, it's known for this doll, this toy doll called Puka. It's a weird rabbit-esque teddy bear with humongous fucking spectacle eyes. Like these just big fucking eyes. I don't even know how to describe it. And they glow blue and red. So this one dude, this writer, is getting harassed by this online fucking YouTube videoer. And ends up, they all get drunk and they write a challenge. Like, you know, there's like the cinnamon challenge and all these other things. Well, they write a Puka challenge. And what they don't know is this Puka fucking thing is a curse. They end up like they end up making this curse. And I guess the internet gives it life. I don't know how this works. I don't know how curses are made. But anyway, you do this challenge, and if you're a bad person, Puka will come and kill you. And it starts off with the YouTube videoer guy, and he does the challenge. And then he ends up getting killed by, like, this big, fat, fluffy Puka doll. It just looks like, it looks like the regular doll, just, like, oversized. And then it starts changing. Throughout the movie, the Puka doll, as you see him show up to kill more people, it changes with how the internet sees him. Or how people describe him, I guess. So it's literally whatever the internet is saying is what's giving this curse its power. And they end up having to destroy, they want to end the curse because they're being chased by the Puka doll because they're the dumbasses who made the curse and fucking fell through with it and did it. So they come up with the theory that you end up having to stab the original doll while live streaming it, essentially, is how you get rid of this Puka. Because the creator of the Puka doll put on a Puka mask and killed her husband with a pair of scissors because her husband was an asshole. Hashtag Will Wheaton, we love you. And if they don't kill and stop this Puka, all the Puka dolls are going to come to life and some shit's going to go down. So, long story short, they stop Puka, kind of. They stop the big, tall, lanky, scary-looking Puka, motherfucker. I didn't like the way that one looked, with his teeth with no lips. It was weird. But then all of the Puka dolls start moving and talking because they're in like a Puka doll warehouse or something. And it ends kind of like a Left 4 Dead almost is the way that I can describe it, where like I thoroughly enjoyed how they did it, where it's the main character and, you know, all of the people who support him and whatnot. There's like five or six people at the very end. And then they realized, oh, the internet is still saying that, you know, this Puka apocalypse is going to happen. And all these dolls are going to come to life and cleanse humanity. So because the internet says it, it must be true. And then the dolls come to life. And that's where they end the movie. So, yeah. I think that would make a good video game. A good Left 4 Dead add-on. Run around and have to kill all these Puka dolls. Be chased by all the different variations of Pukas. You could have the big, fat, fluffy Puka. You could have that scary, lanky Puka who crawls and whatnot. It'd be creepy. Someone who's really good at like modding stuff, go make it for the Left 4 Dead. But yeah. I mean, what did you think of the movie? I mean, you said you liked the first one better.
I like the first one better. It's a different movie completely.
Now, is it still based off of that same doll?
Yes. But not the doll. It's based off, like, the toy. It's weird. It's like a toy character. It's not a doll.
Okay.
But, I mean, I enjoyed it?
Question mark?
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, so you liked the first one better than the second one as an overall movie. I liked the second one. The second one was horror comedy-esque. Like, I don't know what to compare it to. I've honestly, I thought about that, and I really don't know what else to compare that movie to. Because I can't really compare it to, like, Chucky, because Child's Play was far scarier, in my opinion. I don't know. It was weird. But, yeah. I mean, that's all I have to say about Pooka. I did, we watched Pooka Lives, and I did enjoy it. And I love Felicia Day. So.
You do love Felicia Day.
Yep. So, if you don't have anything else that you'd like to talk about Pooka, then we can move on.
No, I think I'm good.
Life advice with Devin.
My life advice with Devin is going to be the same thing it's been for the past few weeks. Be safe, y'all. Wash your hands.
Wash your feet, too.
I mean, do that, yes.
Oh, yeah, I'm going to get yelled at if I don't say this on air. I'm going to give a shout-out to my mom, who got me this really cool thing for my room. And essentially, it's a wireless light switch. So the lamp that I have in my room is plugged into it, and I can be sitting at my desk, and I flip the switch on, and the light comes on in my room, and I flip it off, and it goes out. So when I'm playing scary games with Devin late at night, and I look over, and I always complain to him about how it's fucking pitch black over in my room, and I think I see stuff.
I say it ruins the aesthetic.
Uh-oh. Oh, there it goes. Then I can just turn the light switch on and be like, oh, no one's there. Until that one fucking time, Devin, where I turn the light switch on and there's going to be like some creepy old lady just staring at me and I'm going to slowly just turn the light back off and pretend I never saw her.
And that's what she's going to eat your soul.
Listen, she's not going to get much for doing that. Not much of a meal there.
That's what you think.
I'm soulless. I'm soulless.
No, you're not. You're not.
All right. Well, that's it for us, everybody. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading. Comment. If you haven't seen Overlord, go watch Overlord and send us a comment. I know Kurt will. And if you haven't seen Pooka Lives, feel free to go watch Pooka Lives as well. That's, I believe, on Hulu, right?
Yep, on Hulu. Make the mistake I made. Watch Pooka Lives and then watch Pooka, because that's what I did. But, I mean, yeah. I didn't realize Pooka was a thing. And then I realized, oh, Pooka. Oh, Pooka Lives. Oh, there's two. So there you go. I mean, they don't tie in each other at all. They're both pretty much standalone. So, I mean. All
right. So, yeah. Thank you, everybody. And we love you. And stay safe. And until next time, fuck Booster Gold.
FBG.
Oh, man. I like that. FBG. Why haven't we used that earlier? You're a genius. I know. Rob didn't say a single thing that whole episode because I chastised him for ruining the first intro.
You're damn right.
Now we're doing the outro music.
Damn right, Rob.
Pooka Lives!